The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Big Show, Your Money with David Hayes. We appreciate you hanging out with us. If you miss any of the show today, you can always catch it on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. or then over at WGCLRadio.com, or catch it on iTunes, Google Play Music, all kinds of great ways to check out the show. Got a good one today. We're going to be talking to Josh Norris, our Medicare guru from the office. He's going to be talking once again about open enrollment. Just every week, we're going to hit this just a little bit so that everyone knows that they have an outstanding resource, a trusted resource they can go to if they have questions during this open enrollment period. We're going to do a little market update. We're going to keep going on this as well. As long as the markets keep trucking along, each and every week, we want to talk a little bit about the markets, even though the typical investment show is the first Thursday of each and every month. And I can't believe that we are rolling down to the end of October, which means the investment show will be next week, I guess. So we'll have Rod and Eric on. But we are going to have Eric call in and talk about interest rates. They've been on the move. What does he think that means from an economic standpoint? And obviously the market's on a tear, so we'll talk about that as well. Do just a little bit of news of the week brought to you by the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. It's, of course, supported by Comprehensive Financial Consultants. To learn more about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to mcshof.com or just Google Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. I had this come up today. A mother of a son who is serving in the military active duty, she came in with this question, and I did not know this was being posed to the people on the federal retirement system. They're having a choice to make. They can change from what's known as the FERS system to a new blended plan. The current FERS system has a higher income benefit when it comes to their pension. They still can participate in the Thrift Savings Plan, which is like a 401k. The new blended plan appears to offer less of a pension, but more into the TSP. I told her not to change, and I'll tell you why. The precedent was set back in the mid to late 80s when these people on the civil service plan, where they could receive 80% of their pre-retirement income, the high three, for the rest of their lives, really didn't depend on their personal savings a lot, but were then provided a lot of propaganda, in my opinion, back in the mid to late 80s that said, hey, if you switch over to this new FERS system, we're going to have all of this money in this TSP plan, and you'll be a gazillionaire. Well, that didn't necessarily work out very well, and I don't know of anyone that actually did make the switch from the old CSRS to the FERS. And I think, once again, people that are on the current FERS system, I wouldn't really consider going to the blended plan. It seems like each and every time they offer up a new deal, it's not good for you, it's good for them. And this is included with just about every company out there. So just keep your eyes wide open when you make these very, very important decisions. And then don't forget, this is on Thursday, October 26th, in the large group room over at Bloomington South. They're going to host a financial aid workshop, and they're going to have the director of financial aid at IB Tech Bloomington be the guest speaker, along with some other financial aid experts. I will not be there. Areas of discussion will include the FAFSA, the free application for federal student loan aid, and the prerequisites for receiving financial aid and how it impacts state, federal, and institutional financial aid. All college-bound students and parents are encouraged to attend. I can tell you, probably the parents should attend. The kids really don't care that much. So anyway, that's over at Bloomington South tonight. Again, Thursday, if you're listening to the show on Saturday, you missed it. I'm sure there'll be other opportunities to learn about financial aid. You can actually file that financial aid form around the end of the year so that you get kind of a jump start on everybody else. And then lastly, I'm just going to talk about this because my son's in the program over at Sounds of South, the Hello Dolly performance. The last opportunity to see them is this coming Saturday night. Starts at 7 o'clock. If you want to go, you can go to the door and buy tickets. Typically, get there 6:30. You should be able to get a ticket. And enjoy the show. I mean, these kids have really worked hard. It's a fantastic show. It's one of those shows that I can even follow. I remember going to the IU Auditorium years ago with my wife to see Cats. And I had no idea what was going on. In fact, I left at halftime is what I call it. I call intermission halftime when I go to these shows. But during Hello Dolly, I didn't have any desire to leave at halftime. And I wouldn't have left at halftime, even if it was Cats, because my son was in it, right? But anyway, we're going to see it for the third time. Each time I see it, I love it even more. So if you're bored or not bored and you just want to do something fun that's pretty affordable, head over to Bloomington South and catch that this Saturday night. Again, starts at 7 o'clock. So that was a little plug for the Sounds of South kids. And listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to my buddy Josh Norris, our Medicare guru, on open enrollment period, what you need to know, who needs to be paying attention, and who can completely ignore what's going on. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Recently quoted on CNBC.com, Josh Norris joins me on the telephone. And Josh, you are the Medicare guru, Medicare supplement, Medicare Advantage guru of our office. You've been very busy during this open enrollment period. And yeah, congratulations once again for your, your quote on that CNBC .com article. And I saw they were asking for a follow-up again. So hopefully you'll get a little more press again. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, let's talk about what this open enrollment period is. A lot of people are hearing about it, and once again, each and every week, we want to give folks just a little bit of information on, you know, what's going on, what you're seeing in the field, because I know you have boots on the ground. So give us a little idea of what this open enrollment period is and who can benefit from maybe taking a peek at what they already have.
Sure. So it's the annual enrollment period for people on Medicare, so anybody over the age of 65 that's enrolled into Medicare, or if you're on disability and you're under 65 and on Medicare, this can also be applied to you. But basically, it's a time where you can reevaluate your drug plan or your Medicare Advantage plan and to see if there's a better plan out there to lower your out-of-pocket expenses, maybe to lower your premiums. Maybe if you're not liking your network, you can maybe switch to a different plan that has a different network. And also, too, you know, if you are someone who has a Medicare supplement, it's also a good time to review that and see if you can get a better rate out there. I've been able to save a couple people up to $70, $80 a month on their Medicare supplement plan without cutting any benefits. So now's the time of the year to definitely do all that stuff.
So what about, someone that's been out there holding on to their plan for year after year after year? Hey, it's working good. It's kind of gotten more expensive. I mean, that person should take an opportunity to revisit this, because I think a lot of people just get complacent. You know, it's working. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But if they spend just a little bit of time with you, I think they can maybe in some cases walk away feeling good about what they already have and should just stay with it, or in many cases make a change, improve the situation, and put more money back in their pocket.
Exactly, yeah. It never hurts to see if you can definitely, like you just said, put more money in your pocket. And a lot of people, when it comes to Medicare supplements, a lot of people, you know, will get their Medicare supplement and they'll stay there for, you know, 7 to 10 years without even shopping rates. And that's because, you know, like you said, they've used it. It's familiarity. They know it works. They're afraid to change because they're afraid they don't want to go into something and have less benefits.
Right.
But Medicare supplements are standardized by the government, so that means every single F plan out there is the exact same. Every single G plan out there is the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that makes them different is what the company is charging their current their customers.
There you go. Well, Josh, I know you're busy. We caught you between appointments, and keep after it. Keep doing it, and we'll talk to you again next week to encourage people to do the right thing when it comes to these Medicare supplements, Advantage plans, and all the associated things that they have to deal with, which is a lot for a lot of people. So we appreciate you being a calm, cool, and collected guy when it comes to sitting down with people and not making it more complex, but actually making it more simple. So we'll talk to you. I'll see you back at the office tomorrow, but we'll talk to you next week here on the show.
sounds good.
See you, buddy. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the one, the only, Mr. Eric Giesler, everybody, our fixed income guru over at CFCI. I'm seeing interest rates on the rise. I'm looking at the 10-year Treasury at 2.44% as of yesterday. That's kind of a pretty decent move in a short amount of time. That should be indicating some good things are happening. Now, historically speaking, you're kind of thinking 2.4, that's still pretty low and slow growth. So we'll get Eric's perspective on that and more. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Hope you're enjoying this show. Hope you're enjoying this cool fall weather we're having. My goodness gracious. I'm actually having family pictures done tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. I haven't had actually a family photo since my son was about 13, so he is going to be 17 in December, so I think we're probably about due. You know, we kind of take this for granted now because we all have the cell phones, we're popping pictures all the time, but to have actually a professionally staged picture, the ones you hang on your wall in a 8x10 or something, you know, we don't have those. We just have them on our phone, and the only way to see them is to sit down, you know, 11 o'clock at night in your bedroom, and while you're watching TV, kind of flip through them, which is what I did last night to kind of clean up my photo bank just a little bit. Joining me on the phone is Mr. Eric Giesler. Eric is, of course, the fixed income expert over at our office, CFCI. And Eric, I wanted to talk to you about a couple things. But, you know, obviously the focus has been on the market, and the market's hitting new highs, it seems like, every day or every single week. We've been trying to, here on the show, put that in perspective, focusing on fundamentals, you know, not getting too euphoric about where things are. And I always like and find it interesting when we talk to you to talk about more of the interest rate side of the world. It's a boring side of the world for a lot of people, but to me it's very indicative of where we're headed. And I saw the 10-year Treasury yesterday was now around 2.45, let's say, close to that. Just a few weeks ago, I feel like we were talking around 2.2. So we've had a pretty decent move up in rates. And what, I guess, from a layperson perspective, should they even care about when it comes to these interest rates? I guess I've always said, hey, listen, it's to kind of indicate what the market believes is the growth and inflation expected over this certain period of time. But I thought if you took just a second to explain, you know, how interest rates kind of act as an indicator of what we expect to happen in the economy, overall economy, would be very helpful to people.
Well, I would start off by saying, Dave, that long-term interest rates, I'm going to say 10 years or longer, Our traders and investors that are looking at what's going to happen over the next 10 years or 15 years, and is there really going to be growth? We get a lot of noise on an annual basis. And when I say noise, we get a lot of changes. There's elections periodically that change things. But people that are investing in long-term investments are looking at for longer horizons, whether they're pension funds, insurance companies, and it's kind of reflective of what the market believes inflation is going to be or growth is going to be in our country. And that's true all over the world. So it tends to reflect or give us an indication of what long-term investors think is going to happen to our economy over the next 10 to 30 years.
So right now the bond market's saying, yeah, slow to very little growth on a real adjusted basis. So the market, on the other hand, is saying, you know, grow, expecting, you know, GDP to continue to be solid and, you know, just general overall fundamentals. But I think two things, and this is a theory that I have. One is just math, and that is if I'm willing to pay 20 times the earnings of a company versus, let's say, you know, 15 or 16 times earnings, that seems a little rich to me. But at the same time, if interest rates on a 10-year basis are around 2.5, you know, you might be able to justify that a little bit. And what worries me is that when we have markets like this, we're always able to justify why and how it's going to continue to either be this stable or go forward. And to me, that seems to be the big justification right now, is that interest rates are low, so therefore we can pay up on the multiples. But why wasn't that the case, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago? Or is it the fact that we've had, you know, some good reports come in from companies? We've had some deregulation. We're expecting some tax reform. So it's just a very interesting market. I was going to say confusing market, but it's very interesting.
It, what I would suggest to anybody is that we have short-term rates going up, not just the Fed raising rates, but you also have two-year rates are now up to, I think, about 1.6%. So what you're seeing is more and more risk in the short term. And some of that risk is what's going on in the stock market. The longer-term interest rates tend to reflect growth and inflation. The short-term interest rates tend to reflect risk. And what you see right now is that as we have these higher multiples and you have growth, those aren't necessarily long-term risks. Those tend to be short-term risks. And so we start to see that reflected in short-term interest rates.
So I always describe the bond guys as glass half empty and the equity guys as glass half full. But that tends to work pretty well. But here's my theory, Eric, is that there's 10,000 people a day in this country, turning 65, 10,000 a day turning 70, and this baby boom generation, dips down all the way into like their early 50s. And right now, they are making the most money they've ever made. Their kids hopefully have left the house, and they're saving as hard as they possibly can. Paying down debts is another thing they're doing to prepare for retirement. So when you have this much money on a weekly basis, basically, from all of these 401ks and 403bs flowing into these funds inside of these plans, it's got to go somewhere, so it's going into equity. So all this money's going in and not as much money's going out the other side. That would cause a market to react pretty positively. And I would say on the other side of the fence, when you mention insurance companies, pension funds, all of them that need to have more predictable cash flows are looking to bonds, once again, tons of money that has to be put someplace. So when you have a lot of money going in and not a lot of money going out, that to me is also supportive of a decent market. What do you think about that theory?
I can say you disagree.
It's okay.
I do agree with you, Dave, but I would be cautious because there are events. I think the biggest thing on the horizon right now is how does the Fed unwind their balance sheet or take $9 trillion of cash out of the market? How do you do that? And so I think that there are events that could upset that. I think once again, and I hate to lean on this, but what are the institutions doing more so than what retail is doing? Retail doesn't have as many choices. They don't have as many strategies. So yes, the average retirement or the person still working, they are putting money into it. But on a relative basis, it's really what are the institutions doing with their money? So I would again suggest as much as you can to take a look at what institutions are doing. And I think you're exactly right. This round, for as well as the equity market, and I continue to be supportive, I think it's going to go up from an allocation perspective. But there hasn't been the great reallocation that we've seen in the past out of fixed income and into equity. And that kind of tells us something, that mm-hmm. a balanced portfolio seems to be the best place to be.
Well, and when you hear, markets up all these big, massive numbers, I was just looking here real quick, the one-year rolling return on the S&P 500, or even this year, it's up like 15%. So when someone gets right. their statement, they look at it and they think, well, I'm not up 15%. Well, of course not, because very few people, unless you're younger and in your accumulation years, is invested 100% in the equity market. Almost every fund out there, if you are in a balanced fund, is going to have 40% in fixed income. Now, it may be a little bit skewed now with the run, but at the end of the day, the bond market's been relatively flat. With this market up 15%, if you're a 50-50 portfolio, you're going to be around 7%. And I think that's what we've been trying to hit home here, not just with the folks listening, but our own clients, is that money that you're going to need sooner than later should not be invested in equities. the money that's invested in equities is your later money, and the money you can risk, and that you have the time to experience the downs, because we only talk about volatility on the downside, even though we've had tremendous upside volatility. And of course, I don't mean that from a measurement of the VIX. The VIX has been pretty tame. But Eric, I think the reality of it is that most people need to understand what their allocation is, where it should be, and that earning this 7% year to date is probably a pretty solid number, not to get too frustrated about that.
Well, going back to my old biases, if you could earn 7% for the rest of your life, you can live happily ever after.
There you go. It's like Wonderland, right?
Yes, it is.
It takes 7.2%, folks, with the rule of 72 to double your money every 10 years. I'm not so sure anyone would shake a stick at that one. Hey, Big E, thanks a lot as always. I was in.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks to all the folks for listening.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Yes. Bye.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some things that you can do right now, some things that you can do before the end of the year that I think can make a difference, and just walk through a couple of different things. Then I also did a quote. I was quoting an article that's going to be released on MarketWatch here in the next day or two about the Government Accounting Office came out and really commissioned Congress to do something about the retirement system, including Social Security, workplace retirement plans, individual savings accounts, because they're saying, hey, we've got a retirement crisis on our hands. And I'm kind of like, are you kidding me? You're just now talking about this? Well, there was a guy that used to work for them, this pretty important dude called named David Walker, back in 2008, that resigned to run around the country warning people that we've got a big problem. So we're going to talk about things that you can do right now that can make a difference before the end of the year. And then if we have time, we'll move on into the report that came out just recently on the retirement crisis in America from the Government Accounting Office. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. That's my favorite bump music. I say it every week, but that's the one that makes you feel like you're on the beach, sunny, toes in the sand. I know there's a country song like that as well, but that one just makes me happy when I hear it. Hey, it's Your Money with David Hayes. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. We had Josh Norris on earlier talking about the Medicare open enrollment period for people on the Advantage plan or people that want to review what they have from a supplement standpoint. And then our own Eric Giesler was on to give you kind of a bird's eye view of interest rates, growth, inflation, where we are in the market. So hopefully that was good. Next week we will do the investment show. Hot Rod will be in with me, and we'll be hitting it really, really hard, because I really want to focus on some things that you can do to protect what it is that you've already made. I mean, I'm a protectionist, right? You've heard me for a long time. I'm a protectionist. I want to protect what it is we've already made, but also I'm an opportunist. I want to be in the game so that we still have opportunity, but yet with some protection. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. So next week's show, we'll be talking about the theme, protection, but with opportunity, and see, hopefully, if you can get a nugget or two out of that that will motivate you to do what you know you should be doing to protect what you've earned so far in the last, year, 2 years, 3 years, or maybe the last 7 or 8 years in this massive run-up. This past week, I was actually in Tampa, Florida, for our annual broker-dealer conference. I went out on Sunday afternoon, and sadly, I'm reporting that my little league football team took it on the chin in overtime. I had actually canceled my flight. You remember this story from last week where I canceled my flight because we ended up having a different seed by losing by 1 point. So that not only cost me a few bucks, but cost me a round of golf down in Tampa, which was fine. That was fine. So if we won, we were going to play Wednesday night, which meant I was going to have to change my flight again and come back early on Wednesday. But we lost, so I didn't come home early on Wednesday night to get home and get ready for today, Thursday. But while I was gone, I celebrated my anniversary, 24 years with my bride, Misty, nicknamed the Queen. If you know us pretty well, you'll hear me call her the Queen, and it's almost just second nature now. And there's a funny story about that, but it goes back 25 years ago, or maybe longer. And but we were in Tampa, and instead of going to the evening event that was set up, we peeled off and went to a place called Charlie Steakhouse. That sounds like a just kind of a run-of-the-mill place, but it was fantastic, and we had great food. We sat and had a great conversation, and I had a gift that I had pre-delivered to the restaurant that was on the table when we got there, and none of that was really planned before I went. The plan was for us to go, come back, and then exchange cards or gifts or whatever about for my anniversary. So I get there, and it's the Tuesday, our anniversary, and I go up to the room to, you know, between sessions, and I look, and there's like two cards there on the table. I'm like, oh gosh, I didn't bring anything with me. So the second part of that afternoon session, I didn't necessarily need to go to it. So I cut out and went to a mall and picked up some cards. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to buy a purse. So I went over to the Coach place and found kind of, she's had carried a Coach purse for years, a little black one that she would, you know, take in to be convenient. It's not her everyday purse, but one that she does carry when she wants a smaller purse. So that thing looks like it's run over by a lawnmower. So and then I'll replace that. So I did, and so that was on the table when we got there, really all wrapped up pretty nice. And so as the next day went on, of course, the word spread. I took my wife to a great dinner, had a gift there pre-delivered. You know, really sounded like that, man, I'm the like most romantic guy in the world, and I keep telling them, listen, I'm like every other guy. I screw it up pretty much 364 days out of the year. If I get one day right, you know, please don't give me too much credit for that, but I got it right, and yeah, it worked out pretty darn good. So congratulations to me for having a good anniversary, and congratulations to my wife, to Misty, for hanging in there with me for all these years. So next year will be number 25. That's a biggie, right? And I told the people at the broker-dealer conference, I said, if you have the conference on the 25th, I'm not going to be here. We're going to be doing something different. So we're still trying to figure out what that special thing is that we'll do on our 25th, but we're going to do something cool. So we'll find out hopefully soon, because I want to get that pre-planned well in advance and not be pulling a rabbit out of my hat the day of my anniversary like I did this year. All right, I want to talk to you about a couple things that you can be doing here before the end of the year that I think can make a big difference. You know, if you are over the age of 70 and a half, and you have retirement accounts, you're subject to minimum distribution requirements. And the older you get, the more you have to take out. Now, the very first year, it's only 3.65%, 3.65% of your year-end account balance, last year's year-end account balance. So it's three, you know, it's not a lot. So $100,000 is $3,650. That's got to come out. Now, it's the year you turn 70 and a half. Now, there's a couple of other little things that I can tell you that, no, it's the April following, but for the most part, it's the year you turn 70 and a half. You should take the money out. Now, one thing you can do is, if you don't need it, don't want it, and you're charitably inclined, think about this. It's a silly good idea. You give it to a charity directly. Now, the check has to be made payable directly to the charity. It cannot be donor advised. You can't say, and you have to use it for this. But when you do that, the money that you take out of the IRA will not only satisfy your minimum distribution, but it also is not taxable to you. Now, under the old way of giving money, you might give money away, pay taxes, give it away, and then maybe take a tax deduction for it. In this case, having it not reported as income is always better than the tax deduction. That's a big deal. And you can actually give up to $100,000 per year from your IRAs to a charity and it not be included in your income. So I had a person call and they said, man, I'm not going to be 70 and a half until December 26th. So that only gives me just a few days to make the charitable gift for my IRA. Man, is there any way around this? I'm like, no, you don't have. It's not the 26th of December. It's the year that you turn 70 and a half. So you can do it now, and you're going to be cool. So don't worry about, you know, crunching it to the very, very end. So there's a couple of little things that I think you can do. I think the other thing I wanted to caution people about, especially if you're buying, you know, investments that are not inside of an IRA, right now it's the distribution season. Now, what do I mean by that? All of these mutual funds, at the end of the year, they must distribute 90% of the capital gains to you, the shareholder. Now, whether you own that fund for 10 years or 10 days, you're going to get a distribution. And this year could be pretty big because, number one, all of the losses that they had built up in these funds that they've from the 08, you know, 09 time period, those are all used up. We've had enough gains to use those losses up. now they're distributing them all. Last year was the first time we saw a pretty big hit. This time, we're going to see it again. So as the funds generate capital gains, they pass them through. You pay taxes on that, whether you participated in all the gains or not. So be careful. If you're about ready to put money into a mutual fund and it's not inside of an IRA, it doesn't matter if it's an IRA because it's not taxable. It's all tax-deferred or tax-free if it's a Roth. But if you own it outside of an IRA, you may get surprised in that, you know, 8 or 10% of the fund would be distributed as a capital gain, and you're going to pay taxes on it whether you made any money or not. So those are some little things that you need to know about. But there's just a lot of little things you can do. You know, before the end of the year, maybe you want to max out your 401k plan, you know, bump up the deferrals. You can defer up to 100% of your income up to the maximums. So if you're over, you know, over 50, you can put up to 24 grand in. So a lot of folks, you know, kind of get here to the end and want to catch that up. You can do that. I think the other thing that you need to know is that you can make 529 contributions, college savings plans contributions. You have to make those before the end of the year to get your tax credits. So here in the state of Indiana, if you put money in a plan for somebody or for yourself, you'll receive a 20% tax credit, that's real cash back, on your state tax return. So I put $5,000 in, I get $1,000 cash back. That's a 20% return in my quick calculation. I don't think there's any place that can assure you or guarantee you a 20% return on anything. So that's a really good deal. And you can have one for yourself. You can have one for a child, a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, a friend. You don't have to be the owner of the account. You can make the contribution. Let's say your daughter or son has one for your grandchild. You can put money in. You just need the account number to put on your tax return, and you'll get the tax credit. And that's really a way for the family to kind of maximize the tax credit. So even if you have, you know, your son or daughter that they don't have the money to put it in, you could give them the money. They can put it in. They can get a tax credit. You can put money in. You can get a tax credit. You could give it to whoever to put it in. So if you have excess money that you want to give away, it's a great way to do it. It's a great way to get some fantastic tax credits here before the end of the year. And that has to be done before December 31st of 2017. Unlike IRAs, where you can make contributions, you know, up until April or when you file your taxes of the following year, there's certain things that have to be done before the end of the year, and the 529 is actually one of those. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Government Accounting Office, who has a call out to lawmakers to create an independent commission to comprehensively examine the U.S. retirement system, including Social Security, workplace retirement plans, individual savings accounts, and make recommendations for improvement. They're calling it a retirement crisis in America. I'm going to talk a little bit about that when I come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, believe it or not, folks, not everybody gets this stuff right. Is that a shock to you? You know, we tend to run in circles of, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So if you happen to be someone that's saving and plans to retire, and you run around with your buddies, I mean, they're probably trying to do the same thing. But the average person out there just is not ready for this at all. And it's not because they don't want to be. I mean, everyone wants to be. It's because they don't know how to be, or no one's ever set them down to show them how this is to be done. I mean, 40% of the retirement income in America is dependent upon Social Security. Is that crazy or what? When it should just be, you know, part of the three-legged stool, which the old three-legged stool was your Social Security was one, a pension was number two, and personal savings was three. Well, when you think about the world we live in now, who has a pension? Not many people have a guaranteed income pension any longer. Some of the, you know, obviously state people, federal people, and a few of the private employers do, but for the most part, you're on your own. You've got to save enough money to make this thing work over the long period of time. Well, people haven't saved enough. They think they want to retire at 65 or 66 or 62. They don't have any idea what's available to them in their own private workplace. So the Government Accounting Office came out and they said, hey, lawmakers, we need to create a comprehensive examination of this U.S. retirement system. Everything's on the table: Social Security, workplace retirement plans, individual savings. You know, and I've always been one of these people, and you've heard me talk for a long time about this, that I think you have to force people to do things they won't otherwise do themselves. And I'm a free market guy. I hate making people do anything that they don't want to do. But when they don't do it and it costs me or costs you because they haven't saved enough money to pay for the essentials of life, food, shelter, You're going to be paying for that. You're going to be paying for everything. You'll be paying for their medical care. You'll be paying for the rehab for the hip replacement that you also just paid for. So what I'm saying is we have to grab this thing by the horns, and gratefully the GAO office came out and said, hey, we got to deal with this. But when I was asked to be to participate in this article that it's going to come out on MarketWatch probably in the next day or two, a young lady, I was talking with her. She was the reporter. She was the writer. I didn't ask her how old she was, but based on the sounding of her voice, and I just know kind of the age and rank of these writers, she was probably late 20s, early 30s. And, you know, as she was asking me these questions, I was kind of like, man, I mean, this is really something. There is really a bad thing going on here, because they're acting like this is the first time the warning siren's been given. And it's not. I mean, David Walker, the former comptroller, the CPA of America, under Clinton and Bush, resigned in 2008 to run around the country and say to folks, hey, listen, we have unfunded liabilities now. Social Security, Medicare, all of those. And if we don't raise taxes by two times, which means taxes are going to have to double, we will not be able to pay for the things we've already promised. So we have to make some changes. Are taxes going to double? I sure hope not. Sure, certainly the press, over long term, we're hoping that taxes go down here in the short run. But it kind of hit me between the eyes 10 years ago when I heard him starting to talk about this. But just now are people paying real attention to this. When you start talking about the Social Security fund being exhausted in just a handful of years, and you talk about all of the people retiring and they're not ready, you're gonna see some changes. You're going to see changes to Social Security where they increase the wage base or they extend out the ages. You know, why is it that you can still take Social Security at 62. That seems crazy. When they first came up with this stuff, people didn't live very long. If you lived past 62 or 65, you only collected a few years and then you died. But we've never changed that, which seems crazy. And what about people's mindset of mean having to retire at 65, or that's my age? Who made that stuff up? Who said 65? Why not 70? You know, why can't we change the mindset? We have to change the mindset. And I just think it's because for so long, it's been ingrained in our system that, you know, you're in your early 60s and now it's time to think about retirement. I mean, how many of you that are in your early 60s haven't been asked at least 2 to 3 times this year, hey, Joe, when are you going to retire? Like, I don't know. And then by the time you get to 65 or 66, they're thinking, well, Joe, surely you're going to retire anytime, right? By the time you get to 70, or like my neighbor Bob, who didn't retire until like 73 or 74, they just quit asking. So my advice is work till at least 70, 71, then they just quit bothering you about it. I mean, I was over at Cook not long ago, and no one's asking Steve Ferguson when he's going to retire, or Warren Buffett. I mean, these guys are never going to retire. I mean, maybe at some point they said, hey, Steve, when do you think you're going to retire? And I'm sure that Steve said, I don't have any plans to retire, and he still hits it hard, and Warren Buffett hits it hard, and, you know, so you work long enough, and they'll just quit asking you about it. But, you know, what's your age? Are you in your mid-40s? You might live to 100, so work to 70. You know, the old life expectancies, again, are so hardly and well ingrained into our minds. That's why I think we pick these crazy ages of 62, 65, 70 should really be the number, not these younger numbers. So I think you're going to see some pretty significant changes. I think you'll start seeing auto enroll into plans at a much higher rate than 3%. I think you're going to see more of a mandatory participation rather than a voluntary participation. I know it seems crazy. I think you're going to see automatic increases. Look at some other countries. They've done this. It works. Auto increases so that each year you increase your contribution by 10%. And if that happens over a long period of time, you have 2 to 3 times more money whenever you go to retire. I think that you're going to see universal access. So whether you are an independent person, working for yourself, working for a small company, or working part-time, that everybody will have access to a retirement account, a good retirement account, not one that's, you know, like the one that came out last year, the MyRA. That was a complete joke and disaster. I mean, no one does that, and who wants to put money in an account that can't even grow? I mean, for the most part, it's in nothing. So, you know, these are the things I think you're going to see change. Now, will it change for someone who's 55 or 56 or 60? Probably not. But I think for people that are coming into the workforce or that are, you know, in their mid-40s and under, I think you'll start to see some changes. They want to be able to give you enough time to adjust to any plans. And I can tell you that there's not many 45-year-olds that I know that can tell me, yes, I want to retire at age 60, you know, 5, 66, 70. They're not thinking about that. What they're thinking about is, I just need to put money in, right? How much? Okay. But I also have kids that are, you know, 15 and 16 years old. I have high school to get them through. I'm worried about the F because of the homework assignment that didn't get turned in, more so than I am what age I'm going to retire at this point. And then I have college to worry about. And listen, I have a mortgage that I really want to focus on paying down after that. So it's not those people. They can make changes to their situation. And listen, that'll be fine. But if you're already in your mid to late 50s, I would not think that there will be any significant changes that would derail what your plans would be coming up. But you know what? Why age 65? It's been around for a long time. My favorite is Isaac Rubinow, right in front of the Supreme Court, said that it's commonplace knowledge that men age 65 lose their cooperativeness and alertness. So why not 65, right? So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the big show and preview next week's show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Okay, if you're listening on Thursday night, it is now almost 7 o'clock, which means you have to run over to Bloomington South, the big room, for the financial aid meeting. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight in the big room. In the big room, I think, when you walk in, I believe you go up the stairs, and it's just to the right, just past the auditorium, I think. But when you get there, they'll direct you. So if you want help filling out financial aid or learn more about the impacts of different things, show up at that meeting tonight. And they'll walk you through a lot of great things. Next week, we're going to do the investment show. So we'll be talking about all of the things that you have to think about as we approach year end. But really, the theme will be protection, but with opportunity. You know, again, I'm a protectionist. I'd like to protect the things I already have, but yet still stay in the game so that the opportunity doesn't elude me. So we'll be talking about protection with opportunity on next week's show. I'm sure we'll have guys from the office checking in and putting their two cents in on what they think. Hot Rod, of course, he's always a staple on the big investment show. And thanks again to Eric Giesler for making a cameo today to talk about interest rates and the different things that tells us from an economic standpoint. So it's always a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun to have those guys on and talk through different things. And once again, if you want to know more about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, supported by us, Comprehensive Financial, go over to mcshof.com or Google Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame and see all about it. It's a pretty cool event. And again, if you're really looking for something to do at an affordable price, you can go to Hello Dolly over at Bloomington South on Saturday evening. It starts at 7 o'clock. I'd show up about 6:30, I would say, and you can pick up a ticket. I think they're $15, but if they happen to be 10, then you can say, well, David said they're 15, they're only 10. If they happen to be 20, just say, oh, well, they end up being 20, not 15. It's not my fault. I don't really know. I just know my wife prepaid, pre-bought tickets for every show, and this is your last opportunity to see it. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff and enjoy seeing young people, talented young people, do really amazing things, I would check it out for sure. All right, we're going to start to wrap up the big show here. Again, next week is the investment show, and I'm going to do some things next week that anybody can do. And we're going to talk about these little known rules. If you're over the age of 59 and a half and you're in a retirement plan, things that are put in place by the federal government that you can do to protect your situation. Because as you head down that final stretch, it's really important that you have your ducks in a row. Hey, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Hope you have a great weekend, and go Hoosiers.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.